Hi there, I'm John McMillan, and welcome to this edition of PCB Tech Talk, the podcast where we'll be talking about design tools, the EDA industry, and the questions that you're asking. And I'll be bringing in special guests from time to time, including subject matter experts and EDA industry leaders. So be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Let me know the topics you'd like to discuss, and if you'd like to be my guest right here on PCB Tech Talk. You know, I was talking to my producer, Brittany Bach, who I'll bring on in a second, about the great response we had to the most recent podcast, Are PCB Designers Becoming an Endangered Species? Which led us to create part two of this series, in which my producer, Brittany Bach, say hello, Brittany.
Hey.
She's been collecting all kinds of responses from social media, LinkedIn. We've had blog responses, email responses. What about this, Brittany? Is that about from all kinds of social media, right?
Yeah. We've had people come in from all over, and we even have our email address too for people who maybe don't like to get as social, PCB_techtalk@mentor.com. And so, yeah, we've heard from people all over the place, which is great. We love hearing from our listeners.
Absolutely. It's great. And what I thought we'd do is, Brittany, you know, grab a bunch of these questions. Let's go through them together, and we'll talk about updates from the previous podcast, and maybe address some of these questions and give some different angles and thoughts on, you know, the stuff that people are asking, people are upset, concerned about, and some of the trends they had. Brittany, I think you put together a list of questions from all of them that we got. So one thing I wanted to do first is I alluded to the PCB Design and Fabrication's yearly survey. It actually came out since my last podcast. And some of the interesting notes that I want to bring up is they actually entitled it, PCB Industry Thrives While in Need of New Recruits, which is interesting. Last year, I think one of the thing they emphasized was the fact that they saw at least respondents to the survey more. There might be more people entering the field. It's kind of not that way in this review. They had apparently just under 500 respondents. More than half continue to be in that same quinquagenarian over 54%, as a matter of fact, in that older senior designer age group. 73%, and I'm getting this right out of the PCB article, said that their principal job function included schematic layout and placement, which is good because it kind of plays into that more of the generalist person, not just doing PCB design, but they're doing more. The number of designers indicated they work in OEMs rose this year to 72%. Compared to 67% last year, which is interesting. And I have a couple other comments I've gotten from one of our listeners on his perception on that particular subject of OEMs. And in 2014, results suggested a possible influx of new young designers on the horizon, this year's results reinforce the notion that it's a staggering number of designers are nearing this retirement, and there are fewer to replace them. So that number of new entries has actually gone down. Let's see some of the other interesting tidbits there. The agent experience obviously was is continued to be on the upside. The same respondents are aging year after year, year older. So there's not a whole lot of new entries, new designers coming in here, but we have a few great comments that we've received in social media and some ideas of how some companies are doing that. So that being said, Brittany, you have got some really good questions or responses on social media. Why don't you, let's go ahead and talk about some of the, you know, comments that were made.
Yeah, great. So a variety of comments, really interesting to see all the different perspectives on PCB design. And it really got me thinking, you know, how do we really define PCB design? And is it defined differently depending on who you ask? And Troy Schultz wrote in on LinkedIn, and his response was longer, but I'll just read part of it. And he says, it has been my experience that PCB layout is often trivialized by managers that don't really understand it. Do you think, John, that there's a lack of understanding or maybe some misconceptions about what PCB design is, depending on who you ask and what role they're in?
Yeah, that's really a great question. And I've heard other comments alluding to this, that when they see an actual rec, like from HR to filling this position, that the HR rec, they don't really have an understanding of what they're looking for when they get a resume, what they should see on the resume. And I think that's valid. I think when a hiring manager has come through PCB design themselves, they are definitely more specific about what they need and requirements from a PCB designer when they do the hiring. But I think some of the comments were alluding to the fact that, they're looking for a double E, blah, 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 blah. And I think one of the things I mentioned in my earlier podcast is there's like no double E's that are graduating from college that you hear about. And I just came out of a career fair at NC State University, one of the biggest in the Southeast, interviewing potential graduates for jobs. They weren't coming out looking for printed circuit board designer jobs. So it's very tough. So I think there is kind of a disconnect. I think a disconnect between what the skill set is needed for a PCB designer in actuality versus what the perception of what a PCB designer would be from a high level HR.
Sure.
I just saw an ad from a local company on LinkedIn, actually. It was a job where it's the first one I've seen, and that's why I'm bringing it up. It's a local major LED company, and they had for the qualifications they needed an EET or AS degree in electronics, which I thought, wow, this company, they're finally zeroing in on the skill set required for a person looking for this job. But one of the biggest things that I think is that they're probably not knowing how to, how to really qualify these 30 plus year experienced PCB designers. So it's tough. And I think as we get further along and more of them start to retire and the demand for PCB designers that have got the experience required to really just sit down at one of these big tech companies and pump out designs, we're gonna, you know, you're gonna see a shift in what people are gonna be looking for.
And that kind of brings us to another interesting point, which is that there really aren't, I think that I've heard there's maybe one or two actual 4-year college programs for PCB design. And otherwise, a lot of these students are learning something completely different, and then they graduate and they want to go into this, but they don't really have the skill set yet to jump right into a design. And Klaus Baum actually commented, there needs to be a new classification for PCB designers with a 4-year program at university in something called BS in PCB engineering. This will include the thorough use of IPC, the complete understanding of the power distribution network, and how to model it. And so, John, what do you think, how has the industry gone this way where we don't have this college program, and why is that, do you think, if there's such a demand?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's a shortage, the shortage in the field, and there's not really any curriculum in colleges that say the printed circuit board design track. It's you're a double E and you may do printed circuit boards as part of your job function, or you may do one or two or three projects throughout, your time going through college, but you don't actually, that's not a key focus of it. And I think when you get out in the industry, their ideas is they're going to be hardware design engineers and they're not going to be printed circuit board designers. And they don't really come out of school with a complete skill set that they can hit the ground running with doing printed circuit board design. I would love to see some programs specifically, catering and focused on just the printed circuit board design. I don't think that's out there. I haven't heard, but a couple of areas where there's some classes that are actually focused on that. Which bring
Right,
yeah
right.
that this is kind of brings it interesting. I actually received an email from one of our listeners, and he was explaining about when we talked about the shortage about how this next generation of PCB designers are coming back. He said one particular company 5 years ago had 40 designers and now they have 60. Another one, this is and these are OEMs, so these are design services. Another one had 5 designers and now they have 17. And he said every good service bureau that he knew about was actually they are the ones that are actually growing the younger crowd and teaching these younger electronic engineering techs. They're bringing these guys in and teaching them. One of them, he said, actually had 5 or 6 interns in training at this time, which I think is great news, and that's good to know. I mean, that's great information, and maybe that's where then the pool of these next generation of PCB designers is going to come from, more so from the training from all these OEMs and service companies and design services than maybe like directly out of a school system with a double E degree.
Sure. So there's really this need for apprenticeships and this willingness for companies to hire someone on knowing that they're going to need to do some teaching and not expecting them to have this whole set of qualifications right off the
Yeah,
bat.
that's a great word you used, apprentices. I mean, when it's an apprenticeship, that's how I got started. I mentioned it in my last podcast, very early on, hand taping boards, and I think that you can teach somebody what printed circuit board design is, but the art of it, which I think where the apprenticeship really comes in, the technique, the thought processes required, I think that requires actually, someone with a lot of experience and a skill set that's done that, been there, and can really, transfer the information correctly to the young people.
Right. Yeah, so Mike Buteau wrote in and he said, what we have seen over several years' time at our PCB West trade show and through our annual salary surveys is that the trend is already in place for those who are tasked with doing layout, placement, etc., to have a bachelor's degree, often in engineering. This is not to say that it is a requirement for the job, in parentheses, yet, nor do I think it will happen anytime soon. But there's no doubt that these designers who are more highly educated generally make more money. And so, John, I wanted to ask you, why do you think that is? If someone doesn't have that degree and they get a really excellent apprenticeship, what do you think that they've gained through school and through that degree that makes them more desirable and more skilled for an employer?
Out of the gate, there's more engineering and more technology in designs than ever. The miniaturization, the signal integrity is almost on every design. Electronics design, it's not simply just creating artwork and connecting the dots. It's not so simple anymore. That's why there's so many, high speed thermal analysis and all these other tools that are part of it. EMI, just there's all these different aspects that are only really being taught in school unless you really, get brought up. Very entry through an apprenticeship that's very intense now. People that have been in the business 30 years, it's been a 30-year learning process. And there's no doubt that tomorrow there's going to be a new technology they have to learn. It's always going to be a learning in PCB design as long as technology advances and components get smaller and miniaturization is part of it and the speeds get faster and designs are fully constrained. I think it's always going to be a learning process. Coming out of the gate today, yeah, I think a double E with all the technology they have on circuits and the electronic design and how they are able to implement that, but still, how that translates into being, auto routing, how it translates into being able to create all the properties to do, all the artwork that's necessary to understand all the fabrication techniques and all the symbol development and land pattern creation and every aspect of design. There's still a disconnect there. There's still a lot of stuff that needs to be taught. But I think
Sure,
having that
sure.
electronic double E tech background minimal at this stage in the game, getting into the PCB design, I think that's absolutely going to be a requirement. I would love to see more people be interested in PCB design as a career. And I think if they look at the salary surveys, particularly in this the PCB and design Fab magazine, that a six-figure income for a senior PCB designer is not shabby. So I think
No.
it's a good selling point for people to really get some more interest in the field and maybe more people to be introduced to, the job.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think so often, when you're in college, and I know when I was, and especially in high school, you really only think about careers in terms of what degree programs exist. And so, do you think that students know about this as a career option, or maybe not until it's kind of later and they've already selected something else or done an internship in a different path?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, do I think they go into the EE field thinking they want to be a PCB designer? I think one of the comments I made in the last podcast, I don't know any high school senior that's graduating that says, I want to be a PCB designer. I think they're turned on by, brand new high tech companies that are, ones that they frequent, places they go, stores that they shop with the latest cool, handheld devices, and being part of that culture is attracted to them. Being one of the guys that's doing the coding for, a social media site or one of these handheld devices, the Apples and the Googles of the world, the Facebooks, that's the kind of stuff that I, and the reason I'm saying that is this NC State Fair I saw, they had just thousands, over 7,000 students from all over the United States attending. When I saw the lines at each of these booths, Apple and Facebook, they were lined up out the door. I mean, that's very telling on what kids are looking for, the young people.
I think that that's very visible to them too, right? It's very real. It's in front of them. Until you really think about what goes into a phone, you know, an iPhone, like, and realize that, oh, you know, printed circuit board design went into that, then all of a sudden that kind of brings it to life and makes it more interesting, when at first someone might not have realized that, and they would automatically think, oh, I want to work for Apple, not necessarily I want to work for this, you know, service bureau or whatever that helps create the technology that goes into that.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point, I think when people, you know, graduating from high school, they're looking at a career, and they're looking at, I want to design, you know, the next Google, the next piece of the next search engine, the next app, the next this. And they're not really looking at so much the printed circuit board part of it. You know, you'll run into occasional candidates who are very interested in chip design or graphics, and they'll have, you know, be working on stuff like that, or some are in algorithms, and, you know, that's really exciting. But none of them really get down to the, you know, the bare bones of, you know, the actual printed circuit board itself. I think of all the people I talked to during interviewing that process, I think I may have talked to one that actually mentioned PCB design, and he was very specific about wanting to do RF.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. It's. I think it's something that a lot of people don't know about, and yet it is so prevalent in so many of the devices that we use on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's in everything. I mean, you're inside your laptop, inside your cell phones, where everyone's carrying around PCBs with them everywhere they go.
Right.
It's in your key fob and your, you know, for your car. Yeah. Absolutely. They're everywhere. There's this popular commercial on TV that says there's this chip brand company inside. You might know which one I'm talking about. Well, if you look at what companies like, you know, EDA companies do, they create the tools that you actually design those chips and you design those printed circuit boards with. And that's pretty exciting stuff.
Absolutely.
I've designed boards for years, and it's pretty nice when I can see a piece of equipment and say, hey, I worked on that card. I worked on that product. It's a good feeling. Yeah.
At such a fundamental level too. If that component isn't correct, then the whole device, it doesn't matter how beautiful the case is or any of those things, it's not going to work right.
Yep, has to work.
Yeah, so let's talk about HR for a little bit. And it sounds like a lot of people were bringing up some interesting points about that. And Thomas William Walsh responded, "We see the sins of the HR departments changing the names of the positions." And Jeremy, you also commented about this, about the notion has indeed shown telltale signs of diminishing demand to use or adopt this job title. And he's speaking of the technical title PCB designers. So what pressures do you think HR teams are facing? And are they fully informed on what candidates they should be looking for? Or, you know, what's driving them, and what's driving kind of that, I don't want to necessarily say distortion, but that inaccuracy in how they're approaching their hiring process.
Well, you would think that, you know, a hiring manager would be, you know, providing the bulk of the requirements for the job. And I think with today's designs, ideally, if you had, we're bringing in a PCB designer and you were going to train one up or hope to get one, that if they had a EE degree, that would save a whole lot of training. There'd be a lot of understanding of circuits and design and how to do, you know, all and to understand all of the electrical and connectivity pieces of it. But I think they're missing the board design piece, the part that where a person understands spacing and clearances and you know, creating all the rules for differential pairs and match lengths and all these kind of things that make a board actually routable. Mm-hmm. Is it manufacturable? What's the, you know, what is the aspect ratio? Is it a fabrication package? What do they want to see? You know, what applies to placement boundaries and placements of components, and why are you the do's and the don'ts of everything that really makes a PCB functional and fabricatable. So, you know, I being in the industry I'm in, I frequently do look through LinkedIn for jobs that are kind of PCB designers to find out what HR is looking for. And I don't always see the things that I would be looking for. The true story here, I went to a job many years ago, and the hiring manager, high tech company, he brought me in and he sat me down in front of a computer and said, "Tell me about my board." Now, it was a test because his expectation was I'd be able to look at this, turn layers on and off and say, "Oh my gosh, wow, you got a big CPU complex here. You got a bunch of memory chips. Everything's got, you know, everything's matched lengths, and you have, you know, they're all on T points. So there's all the same spacing that it goes from, you know, all the T points into the memory chips. And there's a bunch of differential pairs." I mean, all of the feet, that's all the stuff that you have to understand, you know, there's like how many different voltages there were and why there's, you know, different planes that there were. So I don't see that on the rec. And I think that's the meat and potatoes of when it gets right down to the job, why there might be a disconnect. I think, you know, when I mentioned the OEMs before, I think they're at this time, they're probably, if they're training them up, as it's been, you know, indicated to me in a couple different ways now, that they're probably going to become the PCB candidates of the future as they get, you know, the years under their belts. They worked for the OEM companies, and they might, you know, go out and find opportunities to work in direct inside of bigger companies.
Right, right. Because they have the opportunity to gain that tribal knowledge of sorts, right, through that experience.
Yeah, because their OEMs are investing the time and, you know, and the money to train in young designers up.
Yeah, so along with that training, something interesting that Bob Pauly commented on was this idea that there's no common language. He says, "I am 67 and have been designing for 48 years. I have retired twice and have been asked to come out of retirement both times. Unfortunately, most of the younger people are software users and have not been taught how to design by looking at a schematic and envisioning what the board will look like." And he goes on to talk more and more about that and finishes up saying, "Since there really is no common language between these groups, there is a loss of quality in most of today's design, since these different requirements are PCB designers' job to do all the interpretation as well as grasp the abstract reasoning required to place the parts in such a way that everyone will be happy." And so is that something, you know, that you learn just through experience purely that can't be taught in a degree program?
Well, I mean, is it taught? It could be, but are there classes that actually teach it?
Right,
and first off,
right.
I mean, Bob, good for you. 67 and wow, that's awesome. But he speaks to a good point that I actually brought up. I think I mentioned it a couple times, once in my last podcast on this topic and another one on the auto routing one, that alluded to the fact that there is there's an artistry, I'll use that word instead, of and a thought process that goes on in the mind of a designer who looks at a schematic and he can look at components and takes all the knowledge he knows, everything he knows about fabrication and layout, shadowing and aspect ratios and what I need for test coverage and all this information, and he can think of it all at the same time while he's placing the design.
Sure.
And I think when you're routing, particularly, you have to have a lot of it mapped out. A lot of people haven't had a lot of success or with auto routers in general. A lot of them, like I think I mentioned this before, they just completely ignore them altogether and just concede that they're going to have to hand route boards. But to enable to do that, there's a vision. There's a knowledge there. There's an experience. There's a familiarity with how PCB design works that I really think you have to experience, and you really have to take your time, starting with, you know, smaller designs, and work your way up into the larger designs to get that kind of a problem solving skill set, I'll call it, of a printed circuit board design.
Yeah, yeah. Francesco Panaschi writes, "Now it takes more people and each specialized in a specific sector. But companies do not want to be structured and therefore prefer to call in one who can do everything rather than paying several people." And do you think it's possible, John, for that one person to have all of this tribal knowledge in each of these specific areas and to really bring forth that depth of knowledge to the design?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know the 30-year 20 to 30 year plus designers have grown with the industry, grown with technology, and grown with the tools. So they've acquired all this knowledge as they've gone forth. So I think they absolutely can do it. But I think, you know, another aspect of this is that person becomes this independent engineer type. We've heard that phrase a few times. It's a person who can do most and all of it. And I think these seasoned PCB designers, these 20 to 30, 25, 30 year plus guys, have that complete skill set. Now, I've worked in big companies and small companies. In big companies, I've worked in some where that was, you actually had focused understanding of printed circuit board design. You may be the memory guy specialist. So every time you get a new big card, that you would always take care of the memory section. Another guy was specialized in the physical interface. Another one specialized in the CPU complex of it. And I think in the bigger companies, you actually can, there's times where you feel like you're less involved in the bigger picture of designs than people who work in a small company or independent people. So it's different. There are different designers with different levels of, you know, skill set. Some are completely what we call the end engineer, can do the complete design front to back. But I think there are some that are in very big companies that, because they can't afford to have many designers and they can afford to be very experienced, specialized in particular areas of printed circuit board design, that they may get used to just doing one part of the design and not the whole thing.
Isvan Nagy, in response to Francesco, writes that those are probably smaller companies and that larger ones are more apt to look for someone who does only a small part of the design process, because those who don't understand the whole process are more apt to result to trial and error. Do you think, John, that there's a lot of trial and error going on, and does that end up costing the company more in the end than if they would have just hired some specialized folks?
I can't really speak to that. That's a tough subject because I don't think anyone's gonna, you don't compromise the integrity of your product for anything in a trial and error phase. I do agree with the fact that the bigger companies, you can be more focused in a very specific area. You can be an amazing expert PCB design in this particular type of, you know, area of design, where the individual, you know, the non-corporate guy does get a touch in more of the, you know, the whole flow from front to back, and becomes more the independent engineer.
So it's an interesting thought to think about, you know, can companies accomplish what they need in a variety of different ways? What's the most efficient way? And it sounds to me from our discussion, John, like there are a lot of good and right ways to go about accomplishing things. The key is just that companies are willing to continually evaluate what those needs are and be really in tune with what their demands are and what designers can offer. So John, another one of the interesting points that was brought up in response to our episode 3, it was the ability to visualize. And Andrew Harbottle of the PCB Design Engineers Group writes, "The one thing that I would say as an old-time PCB designer is that anyone who has done a schematic or a PCB layout on a drawing board learns forward planning. People forget these days that doing a modification, whether it was major or just adding a resistor, meant ripping up what you had done to fit it in. I remember many of my early schematics starting off widely spaced on the left-hand side and slowly getting tighter and tighter as I went to the right. Being able to visualize a PCB design in advance and see 5 steps ahead was something you soon learned." And John, that got me thinking, is it possible to learn forward visualization without manual design work? And are students who are trained today primarily through software missing out on some of this foundational training?
Well, that's a great question, because if you hand, if you get a double EF, a schematic, you know, can he envision what the placement might look like based on that schematic? You know, can he go to from the sheet to sheets and see where all the connections are going and see where everything's that needs to be connected? It's difficult. I think one of the things I brought up before is people who are in that 25 plus year of experience range, probably they may have very likely hand drawn schematics too at some point. And then they may have hand taped boards. So there had to be a real understanding for the guys that have been 25, 30 years, because when you know a design intimately And when you know that your placement, especially when you're hand taping, it's a lot of rework to undo and move stuff around. You learn this problem solving, this planning out of necessity to be as productive as possible. And you make mistakes, and everyone starting out it learns and it gets better and better. But the 25, 30 year guy starting to lay out a board, he just gets you give him a schematic and you give him a net list and he brings it into his layout tool. There's some knowledge he already knows of where he wants to start doing his placements. I mean, he has an understanding of the design, the physical interfaces, the orientation, all of the placement necessities that he has with regards to decoupling and things of that nature.
John Jeremy, you commented about Six Sigma, and he writes, "The proliferation of Six Sigma has encouraged many businesses to operate lean and streamlined. Poor global economy resulted in less jobs and more people made redundant. Given a tight job market, employers are usually enticed to hire one person who can do two or more persons' jobs. Over a period of a few years, the job market will align to such norms, and human resources and recruiters will ride these norms." And I thought that was interesting. It got me thinking, and I'm curious to see what you think, how Six Sigma has influenced the roles that PCB designers find themselves in, and has it made them more diversified? Has it empowered them also to focus more on the actual implementation and less on project management type tasks and duties? I'm sure that it could influence it in a lot of ways. What have you seen?
I don't think the PCB design industry is exclusive when it comes to having to broaden your skill set. I think that's happening in all areas of electronics and technologies, particularly. I think the PCB designer has learned along the way all of the additional programs and tools that have to be used in order to accomplish a completed PCB design. They're learning lamp pattern creation, they're learning pad stack creation, they're learning how to understand how to build stack ups and schematic entry and layout, how to run auto routers, high speed signal integrity tools, a whole bunch of other tools, validation, output files, fabrication checks, DFM, DFA. I could go on and on. I don't think it's ever been a point where that a person, even in printed circuit board design particularly, because the tools have continued to evolve and the technologies have evolved, they haven't had to continue to learn more and more and become smarter. And I think that PCB designers that are successful and have rose to the challenge. I mean, they've accepted that. That's part of just a natural progression, and particularly in PCB design going forward.
So let's hear from some of our newer and younger designers. Baron Smits of the PCB Design Engineers Group writes, "No, one, and this is in response to your question, are PCB designers going extinct?" And he writes, "No, one can find plenty of young folks willing to learn the trade as long as one is willing to invest. And that willingness, or better, the absence of, is usually the culprit." And then Duakar Saxena in the PCB Design Engineers Group writes, "I've been designing PCBs now for roughly 2 to 2.5 years. My learning curve and skills have improved exponentially during this period of time. But I think the important point over here is the mindset of the employee." And I think he means to write employer, as not to hire someone young for this kind of job. "I had a few interviews but was turned down because of the lack of experience, to which I think if given some time and motivation, I could prove myself. The very passion that lies behind PCB designing for me is that it's fun and I enjoy working, but not every employer appreciates this passion until you've had a lot of work experience on your back. But when the industry sets such high standards for PCB designers when it comes to experience, we start to look for alternatives. And I think this is when PCB designers become an endangered species." So it sounds like, from his perspective, he had some rejection, despite his passion, when it came to experience. And perhaps he just happened to interview at those companies that didn't have that apprenticeship focus, and didn't believe in training people up, or maybe they felt they didn't have the resources for that. So do you think, perhaps some companies are unwilling to invest or have that mentality that they need to be willing to train up these new designers?
You know, that's a tough one because companies are around to build product and make money. I think it's a very touchy subject because when you hire and want to hire somebody that can be as productive as possible as soon as possible. How much you budget and how much you invest in the future, I think might say a lot for the company itself. Man, I admire this guy's desire and interest in PCB design. That's great. I hope somebody reads this. Where was that, on LinkedIn? Hope
Yeah,
somebody.
it sounds like he's been designing for a couple years now, which is great. It sounds like someone, was finally willing to take a chance with him, but perhaps his initial interviews were kind of a rough experience. So I feel for
Yeah,
him
it's
on that. I think, that's tough when you're coming out of school and some people get internship opportunities, but I know even for me, the internship opportunities were really limited, and so I really feel for those students who maybe didn't get one of the internships that were available, or for someone like him who can't find that company willing to take a chance, and then maybe feels like they're forced to move on to a different career path.
Yeah, that's pretty sad, but I could see, turn into like a catch-22. Well, I don't, you need the experience to get the job, but you need the job
Exactly.
to get the experience. And
Exactly.
I think that's a problem that needs to be solved and addressed.
Right, right.
And I would encourage young people, when I hear the feedback from other listeners and some that wrote in with regards to, it looks like OEMs are definitely seem to be taking a leading role and growing up the printed circuit board designers for the future. That might be, the place where new designers can get started. People who love PCB design, people interested in learning the trade, learning the art of it. Stick with it. Don't give up. And,
Yeah.
find somebody that's willing to invest in you.
Right. Absolutely. One last thing from Andrew Harbottle. He talked a bit about apprenticeships as well, and he says, as with most PCB designers my age, and as we all might remember earlier, he's a very experienced PCB designer. He says, I did an apprenticeship, working my way through various departments whilst getting my qualifications in electronics, finally ending up in the drawing office as a mechanical designer. Since I worked on a drawing board, I then ended up laying out PCBs. These days, if you get an electronics qualification, you want to be an engineer. Doing PCB layout is seen as a step down, and nobody wants to be seen as a failed engineer. I think this is why there are no young PCB designers. Bring back apprenticeships to get the raw recruits and give PCB designers a bit of credit for dealing with engineers that constantly change their minds. So I thought that was interesting. What is the perspective these days, do you think, John, on PCB layout? And does that have is there kind of this ranking system for engineers? And if you've worked that hard and you've gone through a rigorous engineering program, and even I know a lot of them even cost more at a lot of universities, engineering degree is more expensive than other degrees. Do you come out feeling like some things are below you, and would PCB design be one of those?
Gosh, I mean, first off, Andrew, that was eloquently stated. I love how you put that paragraph together. I mean, convincing companies to bring back apprenticeships. I think that is probably maybe still a possibility. If you get a large technology company where a person's been doing maybe MCAD design, mechanical CAD design, and then decide they have interest in electronics design to, start learning the tool kind of at the same time. So double E's really see printed circuit board design as kind of a task, I think, at the end of the hardware design. They want to be the ones doing whatever code needs to be written, choosing the chipsets, writing the functional spec, and designing the product. And I think that, yeah, I do think it may be getting trivialized from that perspective. from what a double E feels like their degree is for. They want to be,
Mm.
they want to move up, they want to manage, they want to do, architects, they want to design the next cool product or smartphone,
Sure.
and hand off these, all of this design stuff to someone who's going to turn it into a physical, board, for example. It's less, where do you, as a management, where do you want your double E spending his time? It's just simpler to sub it out to an OEM where you know that there's a person, a seasoned person with a skill set that knows printed circuit board design. Is it too much to learn? Is it too much to know everything there is about, being the double E and the printed circuit board designer? Maybe so. I mean, that's a lot to know. And there's, of course, there has to be a desire. And I think that's always been missing from a lot of those conversations about it, is a lot of people try to do things. And it just, you really have to have a passion to do printed circuit board design, in my opinion. I think you do. I think you have to enjoy the challenge of it, the puzzle aspect. It's solving a puzzle. It really is. It's taking all this information you're given and all these things that you're given, putting them together so that they worked perfectly. And to some people, if that doesn't appeal to you, that's going to be another, reason you wouldn't want to go in that area. But these people been in doing this for 25 years. They love it. Problem solvers. They like getting all these pieces and delivering a beautiful end product that's, that works. And it's got to be something you're a little passionate about.
Absolutely. So, John, we've heard from a lot of people, and you kind of brought this question up in episode 3, and I'm really curious to hear how you would answer your own question, and also what trends you anticipate for the PCB design industry.
My question being,
So your big, big question here is, are PCB designers becoming an endangered species?
that one. Well, I mean, I started out referring back to the printed circuit design and fab. I think it's a good, I think it's a good cross section of what is really out there and available. Do I think they're becoming an endangered species? Yeah, I do. I think we'll know more in 10 years when I think, the demand for printed circuit board designers is still there, and people actually are leaving the industry. They are retiring. They're saying, "No, I'm not going to work anymore. I mean, I'm older." And the backfilling, if it's going on with OEMs, then that's a great step in the right direction. But I think still, to this day, to say that we're heading more into that, endangered species area, it's probably, still accurate, unless, things change drastically over the next 5 or 10 years. So that kind of answers my question. People may disagree, but until we see a really decent shift in printed circuit board designers, more people, younger people entering and learning more about how people are entering printed circuit board design field, and even seeing how HR is perceiving people, how they're qualifying people, how hiring managers are seeking these, printed circuit board designers, the investments that companies are making in people, until we see some, decent shifts there, which I think are all possible. I'm going to stick with leaning towards becoming an endangered species. So.
In need of a little bit of course correction, it sounds like, to kind of turn that around, right?
Right.
Well, John, thanks so much for having me on the show today, and to all our listeners, thanks for weighing in on this subject. It's great to hear from you. If you have another trending topic you think we should discuss on this show, post it on social media or send it to PCB_techtalk@mentor.com. You can also find John on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Thanks, Brittany. Thanks for bringing these questions and gathering them. Again, Brittany is the show producer for PCB Tech Talk. She does all the important stuff, putting these podcasts together, all the podcast notes, all the links, and monitoring the emails and all the responses to the podcast. So thank you, Brittany, for being part of the show today.
My pleasure.
I can tell you're going to be a regular already. And
Great.
it was great having you. It was a great time. Good show. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
As Brittany stated, we'd love to know your thoughts on this podcast, past episodes, and suggestions for future podcasts. If you have something you'd like to share, we want to hear from you. As always, be sure to check out the podcast show notes
There you'll find the links to the articles and discussion that we've referred to throughout this podcast, as well as our email address where you can send us your comments and questions. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app to catch the next episode of PCB Tech Talk.